So, welcome to the Transportation Management Podcast, episode 28. After a longer break because of the development period for TM9.3, we are back with the new
and Christmas
tool we want to present today. My name is Thomas, and I'm in the Freight Order Management team.
Hello, my name is Matthias. I'm from the Planning and Network team, and this is the first time I joined the TM podcast series here.
Yeah, of course, you listen to all episodes or not, but first recording, yeah. Matthias is our local god of NetWeaver Business Client, so that's why we are talking about NetWeaver Business Client today with him. So, cool tool. Yeah, my name is Bernd. I'm here for the recording and for the questions, again, as usual. So let's get started. So what is a NetWeaver Business Client beside a long name?
So NetWeaver Business Client is basically SAP's single entry point for business applications such as TM. So, I mean, you may have accessed transportation management already via classical sub-GUI, and now this is the new era, how to access TM in a probably more convenient way. And maybe we can...
Maybe just one point I forgot to mention today, if you're just on the audio podcast now, that's very good. But today there's also something to see. So because this is a very visual topic, and that's why today we do it with video on it. So it's a test run. Let's see how well it works. Yeah, and thanks, Matthias. Now we are back here. So the business client is a new UI, and here we are. I think maybe we should mention first there are two incarnations of it, right? The real one, the NetWeaver business client we're looking and talk about today. And then we have the zero footprint one, right?
Yeah, that's right. So one is the NWBC desktop version. So this one you really have to install on your PC. Mm-hmm. And the other one comes without installation. It just runs in the Internet Explorer.
Yeah, you started just by entering NWBC as a sub-GUI command, right? And then a browser starts. But actually, it's missing all the cool features, right? So I also used it for quite a while, but now I also started using the NWBC quite intensively, and I will never go back. Yeah. Okay, so let's get started. How would I get this nice thing, and how much is it? It looks very expensive, so...
Actually, it is expensive, but not for our customers. So, we offer it for free. Maybe you have the links to some things to show where we can get the installer. So, of course, it's available on Service Marketplace. So okay. Just look for NWBC in version 5. So this is the current release.
So maybe let's Google that. Huh? Oops, close enough. So that's one thing. SAP NWBC download Service Marketplace. Let's see. Ooh, you saw the internal portal. Oh, I have to cut it out. So that's the posting here. So let's go there. And maybe from there we will also get to the Service Marketplace itself. Here it is. After logging in, service, that'd be patches. Okay.
Okay, and then it's under N, NetWeaver Business Client. Okay, yeah. A to Z index.
It should be N, right?
Yep.
Boah, so much to get.
And the second entry it is already, so it's...
Nearly on top.
Yeah.
Okay. And here we already see there are three incarnations of it. So which one do you choose when? Is there?
So it's basically the different versions that we have. So it started, I think, with NetWeaver Business. Yeah, with NetWeaver Business Client 1. It's from 2007. Meanwhile, we are in version 5. So I would recommend to use the latest version. So NWBC 5.
Okay, so you would go for NWBC. That's not wrong. We just call it N now. NWBC 5. Is there any technical prerequisite to install it? Do you know that? Or
There is at least one. So it's the version of sub-GUI. Hmm? So I think you have to have a sub-GUI 740 to be able to run that.
I tried the installation with sub-GUI 7. 3, it works, but yeah.
It also stops, right?
A few obstacles.
Okay, yeah.
Is there any dependency to transportation management release? Or
maybe a recommendation? But I don't know. So I use the NetReal Business Client for all of our releases, so and I never encountered any 6-0? Problems. 6-0? probably not 6-0, but yeah.
8-0 onwards, it works.
Yeah, so okay. I mean, I use it as... of NetReal Business Client 3.5, so I think that it was 8.0 probably. Mm.
Yeah. Okay, nice. And it's only available for Windows 32-bit. Okay, so it's also available for 64-bit, right? But it's always it's only available for Windows 2 to make it short. Is it? Yeah, Windows 8.1 should also work, huh? Any?
I would think so. I do not have Windows 8.1, so I cannot tell, but I would maybe. I would guess. So,
okay. Yeah, so you see, we are well informed here on that. So please, before you install, maybe check the guides if you have any dependencies. So it's working for us pretty well. But maybe before you roll it out within your company, you should also check the legal requirements for NWVC. Or N.
Yeah, I mean, maybe one thing worth to know is that inside NWVC for the rendering, the Internet Explorer is used.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. This would be also one prerequisite for using it.
But it's supporting and whatever version I have, or should it be at least something like Internet Explorer 8 or 9?
It depends basically on what features of TM you're using. If you are using the map or a load optimization, for example, I think 9, IE9 is minimum, and I would also recommend to go for a newer version.
Okay, yeah, that's what we always recommend, right? But yeah, sometimes I think Dragos mentioned, or I heard him discussing with a customer, and there was something with Internet Explorer 6. so you never know.
Yeah, so I had a ticket the other day.
Yeah. So prepare yourself and check.
Yeah. So, but IE8 would not be feasible for a load optimization, for example.
Okay. But for the business client,
It is also working with older versions.
So I get it from there, install it, then I think it also installs a .NET 3.5 environment and one more thing, but everything that's just one download and one installation.
Yes,
right?
Indeed.
Okay, and for the internals, there's also something available in a wiki. Of course, I can't share this now because it's out in a while, with nightly builds, right? So if you want to be on the bleeding edge and bleed a bit, then...
yes.
Okay.
Of course, there is a nightly build, and especially if you request some corrections or whatever, so I want to have them as quick as possible, then probably use this nightly build then.
Mm. And the update process, by the way, we didn't talk about that before. So if I install it, do I have to keep it updated myself, or does it auto-update?
There is no auto-update function right now, so you have to care about that on your own.
Okay, so you... responsible for the patches then, or your administrator, whoever that is. Good. So I installed it already a while ago, so it's already there. So maybe I close it and then open a new session again. Let me see what happens when I start the business client. Okay. NetReal Business Client 5.0. It starts with a friendly screen, and then here I have my systems. I think we come how to define the systems. We come to that later, right? But I have a nice list here. I can organize it. We come to that later. One important question I think is, do I have one business client per system here in terms of tabs and sessions? Or can I have connections to different systems within one business client? Maybe we should C3B log on. So
yes, that's a good question, Bernd. So
thank you.
You're welcome. So basically, every instance of the NetReal Business Client is connected to one system, so one specific system. So if you are working with a different development system or with a development system and the test system, you would have to start different instances of the NetReal Business Client then.
However, I think that one thing I really like is that it's, if I go here, mouse over, I see them kind of combined, right? And if I open another tab here, like freight booking or so, then, which means I have two tabs in C3B and one here, I still see them kind of combined, right? So I think it's pretty nice to, let's say, even so technically, it's two different business clients. For me, it looks like one thing here. So that's, I like that. Good. Okay. So now we are in. Maybe it's a good idea. Yeah. What do I see here? Basically, yeah.
So, most of you will know the SAP Easy Access menu. And this is basically what we have here on the index page in a probably nicer fashion. So this is what we offer as transactions in transportation management. So we have the different application areas, and one of the less known and less important areas.
We come to the schedule maintenance in a minute. But
so here, for example, we have the freight order management area with the different transactions grouped by mode. So this could be one way to access the transactions within TM by just navigating from the index page to the different areas. Then.
That's a bit boring. Huh? It's basically the same thing as what I have in the zero footprint or wherever, right?
Yeah. So I have to admit, I do not use this way of navigation.
Okay, me too. but for sake of completeness, I think it's worth mentioning. Okay, but it's still there. Maybe that's a good news.
Right.
You could still go that way if you have enough time. Hi, Stefan. Oh. Yeah. next, maybe I should stop. Link. Oops. Good. Next. So I think that's a normal menu here, right? Of course, I could also just open another tab, and then I have another index page here, right? A bit smarter one, looks like, with frequently used and last opened documents. I think that's already cooler than in a zero footprint, right?
Yeah, and also one specialty here with the desktop client is that every new document that you navigate to or transaction that you open will be displayed in a separate tab here. So no longer that you have 50 windows open and you do not know where they are. So it will
50 tabs now.
Now it will be 50 tabs, but all in one place. So this is really what you already know from the browsers like Chrome or IE, that we have this kind of tab browsing experience here, which I personally like very much about this desktop client.
So that's already the next level of navigation, already cooler, right? I think one more thing is favorites here, right? And I think you can configure it in a way that you see the good old ZapGUI favorites here, but you also have separate favorites here, right? So, but you already see I don't have many favorites, and soon you see why. It's actually, you don't really need them. There are faster ways of getting somewhere. But okay, they are there. So we have favorites here. What is this here? This is just a nice icon. Okay. Nothing behind. So now we come maybe to the cool feature, and I think how do you use it? So we already learned you're not using the favorites nor the menu. So what do you do to start, for example, the famous schedule maintenance? How would you go there?
Okay, maybe somebody of you already noticed how Bernd opened the create ocean booking UI a second ago.
Oh, I spoiled it.
Okay, so what we have here in the top of the application is the so-called quick launch. And as you can read here from the text, you can enter either name of an application or a transaction code. So if we want, for example, create a schedule, we could just go here and type in parts of the name of that application and then just click here in the search result list to open that application. And the cool stuff is, which did not work so well in SubGUI, is that it works with wildcards. So normally I do not type so much letters to to open anything. For example, if I want to open the transportation cockpit, I do not write transportation cockpit and so on. I just type this one here, and then it's already here on top of the list in my work area. So from there I can go. So this is quite an intelligent search. So other than you may know it, it's not the, the asterisk that is the wild card here, but it's actually a space. This is something you have to know. I think that's one thing. Yeah, it's it's you have to know it, but then it's really convenient because you do not have to hit another key to
two keys actually. Huh?
Yeah,
to start to get to stars.
Yeah, keys. That's right. So and this way, it's really fast, as Bernd already mentioned.
Yeah, that's somebody thought about usability here. Huh? Cool,
very cool. Yeah. And once you get used to that, you will no longer know where the where all these applications are to be found in the menu. You just forget because you no longer have to search the menu path.
Yeah, and soon you start talking about the Traco and all that. Let's open the Traco. Yeah. Yeah, but it's very, and it's also very fast, the search, right? So, yeah, we come to the details of the search. There's even cooler stuff in there, I think, later, but it's already only the start, right? Yeah. Cool. Very nice. Then, also, then maybe also worth mentioning, you can also switch between the tabs, right? So, with Control Tab and Control Shift Tab, you go forward, back, Control W closes the window. So I think a lot of shortcuts there, maybe too many. We will come to that later. So they, yeah, we come to some specials with the shortcuts later. But there's a lot of navigation possible also with shortcut results. So very cool. Okay, that's it, right? Or is there more behind?
There is more. Maybe not so easy to find. So yeah. There is some nice icon here in the top left corner. So you may find it's some design thing, but it's actually the button for the Netreal Business Client menu. Mm-hmm. So if you accidentally click here, you will see that there is really a menu behind that.
But also if you intentionally click there, right? Both. Yeah.
Yes, sure. And here we find all the stuff that you can actually configure in the business client. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can start with the very basic stuff regarding the view options. So here we have what is currently activated, show tabs in a separate row. This is basically referring to the layout here in the NetRiver business client. So right now we have the tabs here on top, and the quick launch is one row below. If you have a very low resolution on your laptop, for example, you may want to save some space. And if you only work with two to three tabs, for example, then you may want to have the quick launch here on top. So
let's
try. And then we have it here. So for I normally do not use it because I have 20 tabs open, so I need all the space. But if you have a, you can configure it like this.
Yeah. Also, my monitor is anyway portrait, so I have all the banks in the world. But
Okay. Transaction codes.
Not really important anymore.
So, and then. Yeah, and this is the one Bernd already showed. So if we activate this one here, we will have the these nice little preview images if we go here. And then that we probably better find what we are looking for, which window.
Spoiled again, sorry.
Yeah. No problem. So, and then I think the rest of the things is well known from browsers. So we also have some zoom features here. And
I mean, it's well known from browsers, but not from the ZAP GUI, right? Like that the zoom thing, I think it's okay. Maybe I think you have to be a bit careful with the zoom factor. At least in the past, we had performance issues sometimes when the zoom factor was not 100%. I did not have the feeling that it's still the case, but at least if you zoom in or out, maybe you should have an eye on on the rendering performance, right? Yeah. But the I think the font size, that's pretty cool, since I'm a DPI nerd, screen resolution nerd, so I always wrong direction. I like to have a lot of information on the screen, so you can change the font size as well, and just basically see more on the same monitor estate.
Yeah. Cool. And now we can also check what this button is all about here, because it's only active if you are in the on one of the in one of the work centers.
Okay.
So now we have here basically kind of a tree structure for everything that is to be seen on the right hand side. So if somebody needs it.
For the tree lovers.
Yeah. Okay. So that's basically all about the view menu here.
Oh, maybe full screen also possible. Also, maybe if you don't have too big monitor, also makes easier then. Okay. Very nice. Good. Now we as good nerds go to the settings immediately, right? So there is some personalization behind, right? Maybe I should go to full screen now. What can we define here?
So as we can see, we have different groups here. Of course, we can change the appearance of the browser of the business client a little bit. We have here possibility to switch between these three themes, for example. And then we can also define a general zoom level for everything. So what we saw in the view menu that was per tab. So you can define it on the one hand side per tab, and then also for a general.
Okay.
So there's some special logic. So it's basically again is related to what you know from a browser, for example. There you can also have a zoom level larger than 100% for one tab, and then if you navigate to another tab, then it's 100%
again. So the setting that we looked at before we began when closing the tab, and this one is the default. Correct.
Yes, so this is at least my understanding from this. But you can check then.
What is it? Is it 100? Okay. Ooh, not so easy, to get to 100% performance.
Question would be: do we see that 100 if we click the plus button? I don't think so, right?
No.
Maybe this would be some
let's talk
minor
to the police, yeah.
improvement thing.
Yeah, could be something. Okay.
Okay. So then we have some accessibility mode. I'm not quite sure what's behind this.
I think we have an accessibility. Maybe we should have a podcast episode about that as well. I think that is the new navigation is quite a bit different, right? If you're in accessibility mode and does it also start reading? Screen reader stuff?
I think it allows screen readers to read the screens properly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then we have some personalization options for the lock-on. So when Bernd started the NetRio Business Client, you may have noticed that there was a little pop-up where Bernd selected a system from. So we can also hide that, and then you can choose the system you want to lock on from here.
Can I also define? Oh, we come to that later. Yeah. Like default. So,
Index page. So here you can, or entry page, you can define what you want to see there. So at the moment it says index page, but this can also be deactivated if you do not need it. So
basically, what do I see when I start the business client for?
Yeah, okay. Right. Okay, language, I think that's clear. And then we have some configuration files. I think we come to that a little later.
Yep,
so
yep.
maybe. Skip that for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have here some option where we can enlarge this a little bit. Think most of them are self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. So we already saw that easy access favorites. So we can decide whether we want to see that or not. And some other things. I think we do not have to go into the details here. I think it's pretty clear. So then let's see if there is anything that you could be interested in here. Some animation.
Side panel, if you use it, I think you can define if you open together with a page. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, yes.
Maybe more or less self-explaining.
Yeah.
Right. Some of the settings are only changed with a restart, I learned the hard way. Yeah,
I just checked the accessibility mode. The documentation says that it changes the theme from Corvo to Signature to allow screen readers to read the HTML pages.
Okay. Good to know. Thanks.
Okay. Good. That's the personalization, huh? Okay, so leaving the nerd area again, coming back to to normal. Okay, what's next? We have connections here. I think, yeah, we already started looking into the system connections. So I think, yeah, what do we define here?
Yeah, so I mean, if you start the Natural Business Client desktop the first time, you will probably see nothing here. At least your network administrator, system administrator configured.
I can simulate that. Oh, no, I can't. Okay.
Hmm? Yeah. So probably if your system administrator configured some things for you, then you will probably already see the relevant systems here. But if not, which is probably the normal case, then you will see nothing here. And then you have to add some systems you want to work with. So, and this is now pretty convenient here with a new version of the NetReal Business Client. So with NWBC 5.0 because it's integrated with sublogon. So I mean, if you are familiar with NWBC 4.0, you will remember that especially for creating these connections here, maybe we can open one. You always had to find out which URL you are connecting to, what is the host name, what is the port, and so on. So
Apparently, it had stopped me from using
this. Yeah, so a little cumbersome. So, and if you're not really eager to use it, then you probably won't do it. So this got much better now. So if we are here on the dialog window and want to add a new system connection, for example, or what do we see?
4.5.
So our
hidden systems, freebie.
Can also choose.
Go back in time.
Yeah, okay.
TM9.1.
Okay, then click next. And the cool thing is you may have recognized it. So the URL has already automatically been determined. So we've got nothing really to do here except for specifying which client we want to work in and the language we are used to.
Which is pretty nice, I think, but specifically the client compared to the sub lock-on where you always had to select the client then again. So I think it's pretty cool that you can predefine it here and directly start with the client that you want to work in.
Yes, that's right. So maybe we can do that just for example. So specify that here and then we are already done. So and now it's here and we can access the system.
You can also delete it from here, right? Just to show. It's a dev system. You can also have folders here. I also like that you can kind of for example arrange the systems by role or by release or maybe even both, right? So I think it's also nice thing.
Or by application, if you use ERP.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, very different angles on it. Right, right. So, yeah, very nice. I think then also you can choose if you show the local only or all workspaces. I don't know what that really means.
I think local means that you read the whole sublogon.
Yeah.
So local is everything. Okay, and the all workspaces is basically my definition here. Okay,
but this is maybe a good point. Here, if we go to that local stuff, you may recognize that we have different icons here for the system connections, and this is basically telling you whether you will be able to work with web applications or not. So what we see here, it's subGUI only connections and contrary to that, we have here the connections where you can access everything.
The icon already looks more friendly, so you see it from there.
Indeed, so this is so really an NWBC system connection, and this is what you will most likely will create when working here with web applications and standard subGUI transactions.
Okay, nice. That's it for the system connection.
I think
For the recording, it might be better to switch back to the standard font size, right?
Does it?
Maybe.
Okay.
At least for my classes.
For the view or? Okay, 100%. So I have to do it in the settings then. It's on one. You mean the font size is medium, but this, of course, only applies. Ilm, yeah. Okay. To the tab. Okay.
Yeah, let's see. Let's switch back to the index page. Yeah. Okay. I think that's okay for now. Okay. And maybe one thing, if you now want to open a connection to a different system, then I guess you cannot see that right now, but you will only have to right click on the NetWeaver Business Client icon in the toolbar. And what you will get then is this one here, and then just create a new instance of the NetWeaver Business Client, and then you again can choose.
If I go here to the sys, If I do it from here, is that lock on? Is that then changing? Or here, if I go to the lock on screen, the next one, would it then lock me off here? And or is it starting another?
It's also starting another. So there is again different options. This is how we do it as SAP.
It depends.
And that's so different ways. So what we saw here was basically also a list of favorites. So this is the systems you locked on very frequently. And if there's nothing in your list, you can also get here.
Something I think that I remember, but I haven't configured yet. I think you can also define like a desktop link or so, where you have the target system already in it, right? So that you can double click on it and it starts a business client for a certain system. I think I saw it when reading about the business client, but I haven't installed it yet. So if you're interested, it's worth maybe Googling. If you always start it for a certain system, I think that's also possible. Not directly here, but I think you would have an URL then, which kind of has the system included.
So basically all the links that you can could already create with SubGUI, you can link them now with the business client, so that this that the business client is automatically started when you click that link.
Cool. So what's next? Still settings, so still feel home, huh? Connections. We come to the search providers. What is that?
Okay, so we already saw some of the search providers in action. This is basically the technical stuff behind the quick launch. So what we were...
What was a quick launch again?
A quick launch. It's this search field we see here on the top right corner.
Thanks.
So where we could enter application names or transaction codes. We did not see the transaction code stuff, but we can probably give a demo for that later. So everything that you enter there is basically processed by any of the search providers that are here in that list. So what we already saw was this My Work Area search provider, which is delivered with the NetWeaver Business Client. So this will search every transaction that is relevant for you in your work area, so to say, and then we'll look up the transactions and the applications. So this one is standard active. And we have also one for the transactions and applications. So just to give an example for that, the well-known SE80, you can start directly from here. So here is this transactions and applications.
But it's also in the favorites and recent items, so it's kind of nice. Huh?
Yeah. So, I mean, what we see here is basically the different search providers for which we now got a result. So one is this transactions applications, and as Bernd is a developer, he also uses SE80 quite frequently, and therefore it's here also in the recent items. And we can just...
It's the only thing in my recent items I'm kind of proud of.
So, and of course, we can start that here.
That import errors were just a simulation, of course.
Okay, so, and that's basically it. So, just go back to the search providers. So, we saw favorites and recent items, the work areas, and the transaction applications. This is what comes for free and standard stuff. And of course, here, if you want to use it, you can also activate a desktop search. Somebody may want to use it
because we can. Maybe it's then searching a desktop basically and doesn't have necessarily the full TM context at all or whatever you are working in. So
I mean, you could search your emails, for example, from within the NetWeaver Business Client if you see a need for that.
Yeah. And it's still free. Okay, good. And now we come, maybe, should we dive into that one? Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Also here. Now we come to the next level of search. So one thing is delivered search providers, but you can also create your own search providers. And so we did, because we can. Huh? So, for example, what is that C4B ABAP search? Maybe that's your baby, right?
So yes, indeed. So maybe some words on the technical side of these search providers that you can configure here. They follow a certain standard. It's an open search standard. If you search it on Google, you should find some information, probably on Wikipedia, on that. So it's kind of a standard format for how the search provider should behave when processing a query, how the search result should look like, and so on. And if you follow that standard, you will be able to provide or implement your own search providers for other stuff that could be relevant during your daily work. And as we are developers, we are working with different kind of objects that you normally find in the SE80, for example.
Sorry, I just want to bring the quick launch bar back to...
Okay.
Was it here? No, it was in view, right?
I think it's in the view.
View settings.
Show tabs.
Right. Separate row. Okay, yeah. Because now we're going to search, so it should be in the center.
Yeah.
Okay, so for example, if you look for a certain classes, so how would you do that?
Yeah, so maybe we start with how we did it some years ago, or you some weeks ago. So you would probably go to so SE24. So then
if I know that's a class,
So then you know you are looking for a class, then probably what do we have here? See, I mean, it's already pretty cool here. You have this autocomplete stuff and so on. So it's also got a little better than, and then you probably find what you're looking for here, and then open that stuff, display it. So then you're probably looking for some structure. You go to SE11 and then, dictionary. Okay, I'm looking for a structure. Okay, it's some kind of data type. I enter it here, and then only know. Okay, it's probably something like this. And then, okay, what is it? Okay, it's a structure. And then, okay, here, probably this one. And then I display it. And so basically for everything that you are working with and that you are searching for, you have a dedicated transaction. So class builder for classes, here SE11, our dictionary when you're looking for data elements or structures, or message classes, then you have some different transaction and so on and so forth. So, and you have to think about what am I looking for, which transaction is it that I need to open it in, and so it costs some time. So this was basically the idea why we wanted to improve that a little bit, and now we have here we saw it already a search provider for it's called ABAP search here, and maybe to give a short demonstration.
Short warning: this is now really its development here. Right, so it's not available in the wide. If you're interested, you may contact us, but this is not a standard, but it gives you a nice idea on how you can create search providers, just to give the context, right? So we use it a lot, and it's not complicated, but it's not standard functionality you're looking at now.
Yeah, that's good. Good point. And now maybe let's do the same stuff that I just did in the class builder and in the dictionary, now again using the quick launch and that search provider. So, and if I go here and I know, okay, it's some... we come to that later. So, it was this class. And again, we also have the wildcard concept for this search provider. So I know, okay, it was something from in the Tor context. It's something with help and something with root. And then, here it is. So, and click it. And then we are here. So
and you didn't specify explicitly that you're searching for a class.
Yes, that's the point here. And so it's automatically determined which kind of object it is and where to open that object. So and this becomes pretty clear if we again search for that structure SCM something, S-Tor, and then I'm not sure which one I had before, but I think really. Probably this one here, mm-hmm. open a structure. We mm-hmm. also see here in the search result what object we are dealing with. Then click it, and now it's not the class editor, of course, open that it opens up, but the structure maintenance here. So, and this makes life pretty easy now to navigate to all these objects without having to care about what object I'm searching for. And it's often also the case that I'm not really sure about the type, the name of that object. And therefore, I frequently use that wildcard concept by just specifying parts of the object name. And this is, I think, much more convenient than what we already have in the class builder, for example, where you have to work with asterisks and so on.
And for us, I think it's also convenient as we're always in the same, more or less always in the same namespace, that we made a little tweak that you can also, instead of /scmtms, just having // and then cl, then tor, ru. So that also, so // in our implementation or stands for scmtms, and maybe later we can have a small look into the coding. There's really not a lot that needs to be done to achieve that, right?
Yes, indeed. So I mean, it's in the end your implementation. So if you
implementation,
but I mean, if you are developing your own search providers, I mean, if you are already aware of the objects that you normally search for, naming conventions that you follow, then you can of course also implement these kind of tricks here to make it even more easier.
Yeah, one other prototype we developed is maybe this is a prototype for TM search. Maybe we can have a look into the results, and then maybe we can have a short look into the coding, if it's okay, and of the ABAP search here, and then also how to activate it and bring it all together, maybe. Huh? So,
so maybe a typical example would be that you get some document number. Do we have probably one available? Otherwise, we just
Had to copy me some here. For example, maybe let's start with that one. You know, it's document 21.
Maybe we start the old way first. So you got some, it was a forwarding order, I think. So old way, so probably display, it's not yours. So display forwarding order. So go there. Okay, this was some typing.
Now
some
we even
clicking.
Call this new way already the old way, right?
the real old way is even more cumbersome. So it was 21.
Exactly.
Okay, then continue. Okay, I did not count the clicks and enters, so it's okay. Now we are there. So, and this is basically how we did it in the past, and now we have this new.
Prototype.
I'm always talking about futures and or and yeah, indeed. So and if you would have such a search provider for documents, which is not so not so difficult to implement,
not at all,
then you could just go here and then just input the document number that this 21, and if we.
Of course, it's searching everything. It's also searching for ABAP elements with 21 in it. So most likely your user won't have that ABAP search. So they would more or less see this here.
So again, we have then here a special section for this search provider. So there we see all the documents that have been found containing the search string that we provided. There is now different ones, so some prep documents. And as we know, we were looking for a forwarding order. It's this one here. We click it. And after a second, we are also in the document and much faster than before.
Yeah. And maybe you may have seen that little second entry that came up as the result, and we'll see that in a minute, of that search is basically an identifier and an URL. And our copy functionality is basically an URL. You can also do something like another entry here for the copy of that document. So if I click here now, it would copy that. Was it freight or freight order that I clicked on? Yeah. So because the result is really that simple. Yeah. And you, as you mentioned, you can also play around or you can interpret the results. So for example, we often have a lot of zeros in the middle. So just to have an example here, we thought about what can you do about that. So if you enter here that document, you don't know the exact number of zeros in the middle. We implemented in a way in a prototype that it's kind of replacing the zeros with the smallest number of zeros that follows that string. Yeah? So it's 61, then any number of zeros, and then 545. So that's to be the thing. If you don't have the complete number, of course, if you have the complete number, you can just copy it in from an email or so. Okay, maybe just to complete the search request, maybe we can also go to that other that node kind of thing, and then we come to the implementation. Does that make sense? Or?
Yes, I think so.
For the sake of completeness, let's go back to the search providers. We also have some others, like, for example, that node display here. Yeah, so that is not exactly a search, but for us, if we know the node number, it's a convenient way to go there, right? So it's a bit different because this is not an open search provider. That's, for example, node, unfortunately, has been hijacked by other colleagues. So now, since this is not an open search provider, it's basically not showing up with results here, but I can go here to the detailed search and can press the node display here. And it opens the windows, it transfer my node number into that UI or URL basically and opens the node here. And basically I think that works with any URL, right? So what do I have to consider here?
Yeah, maybe we can have a short look at...
Yeah, that's of course just an example. Yeah.
And it's already fixed.
Hmm? Already fixed. It's only a question. It's not a fact, of course. Yeah. Maybe let's have a look at that node display structure.
So, I mean, we see that we have a URL for that, for that search. And then at the very end, we see there is some zero here in the curly brackets, and this is basically the placeholder for the search string, for our query string. And if you have some kind of search following this kind of format, which is I think true for nearly every every website search, so then you could just enter it like this, frame the query where you would normally have your search string then or replace it by this one here. So curly brackets with a zero in it. And then this is what you are searching for. And that's basically it.
Yeah. So that's a advantage now, not being only audio, because I wouldn't have known what a curly bracket is. So that's a curly bracket here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Very nice. So that works with more or less every URL, right? It could be an Amazon search, Wikipedia, or Reddit or so. I don't know, if you look for funny cat pictures from the business client, then you could also do it with a search provider.
Yeah.
If it's not blocked in your
interface. So actually you do not need a browser anymore because you have everything here, so you could also Google
TM and cats, so what else? Yeah. Okay. What else would I need? Okay.
So now we also saw one of these search providers, but searches that you could integrate here into a NetReal Business Client. And I guess it would now be also interesting to at least have a short glance at the technical stuff behind the search provider that we showed you, the ABAP search and the document search. And for this, we probably start with the internet connection framework that we see. It's basically a web service call that is done from the NetReal Business Client, and everything that's For this is defined in the transaction as ICF, so HTTP service hierarchy maintenance. And if we go a little deeper, we will find a local service that we created. It's here, and maybe we start with this one here. And we have a dedicated service for this ABAP search. And if we open it up, there is not much behind it. So it's a name. And the interesting part is basically that handler list here. And in that handler list, there is one registered handler. It's an ABAP class, which does all the processing. So processing the query string and looking for the results and also giving a response to that call. And let's go there for a second. And
it's your class. It's all free.
And then let's see what it does. So one thing, so again, I mean, Bernd already mentioned it 30 times. I think it's a prototype. So
it's the prototype. Ah, I see.
So therefore, it's... It's may look a little bit like a construction site here at some places, but just to get an idea what that is all about. So we have here this handle open search description. So this is called by the business client to check what the search provider is all about. You can specify some stuff like short name, description, and so on. What is I mean, right now it's. I think the description is taken from the settings dialog, but the standard, at least the open search standard, would allow to provide this information here in the search provider itself. So when a request is done, give me that open search description, then this is what we return here. So. Okay. I think this is not the most interesting part about the search provider. So just that you have seen that, and the interesting part is in that handle suggestions XML, which is called from here from that handle HTTP request. Maybe we can go there and depending on so here if we. I just mentioned it. If we get a request with show me the open search description, we basically return that. And if we get a request with type XML or this show thing here, then we go into our handle suggestions. And that's just... okay, I hope we are back because I just wanted to use a shortcut.
we can. Good reminder. We come to that later. We hijack shortcuts.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. So, okay, actually, I want to hide the signature here. So, okay, so just a quick review of that code here. So, the interesting part is here we get some query string. So this is what we entered in the quick launch in the NWBC. And then we can do something with it and to basically find our searches, search results. So Bernd already told you about that small enhancement that we did to make life a little easier when searching objects in our very long namespace here. So typing... two slashes will be replaced then with our namespace, and then when we have a space in the query string, which is this, the default wildcard in the NetRealm Business Client quick launch, and we replace it by an asterisk, which is normally the wildcard in the backend. And then we can do some stuff. And if you are familiar with the ABAP development tools, so formerly known as ABAP in Eclipse, you will know that they already have a quite nice document search, and this is also the basis here for this search provider. So basically, you can do whatever you want here. So do a select on a database table, call some other things. The only important thing is that you at the end have your results and that you. That you bring it into a format that can be returned then to the NetRealm Business Client. So that's search results are on the one hand side displayed in that list here. If we do it one more time, Should we set a breakpoint or?
I'm not quite sure if we, maybe this is sufficient here. So just provide everything that is necessary for the result list here. So, for example, name of the entry here, with the, in this case, with the information what object it is. And of course, as we are here in a browser and we want to navigate then in the end to that document, we have to provide a link to that. And in this case, we have some special link that will then call a transaction that is opened because we want to, it's the workbench, for example, it's not a web page. So it's some sub-GUI application, and therefore it's some special thing here. So just tell the the NetRio business client what to do when the user clicks on that here. So the navigation details.
I think basically the result is really a description and the URL, and that URL is followed when you click on that entry, right?
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah. So maybe, I mean, you were asking for a breakpoint. That's right. So let's remove that one and just to give you an example. So what we are concatenating here. So
maybe we can also go to the very beginning, very briefly on it, and show the what is the input. How do we get that ZMK? So that's basically. What is it after?
So I think this has already. I mean, as we are now at the very end, so maybe we go back here and then do it one more time to see what comes in. Yeah, it's a good idea, I think. So let's go here and then. Okay, now we are back in the debugger, and now let's see what came here. We see, okay, I told the truth. So this is the query string that we entered there, and then we do some processing here. And we do not have /// so nothing to replace. We do not have some blanks, so nothing to replace there as well. And then we concatenate here some star to because there is no object called ZMK, so to to uppercase, and then it's basically it, and then we do call our ABAP quick search, which will then give us a set of objects. In this case, we have 20 objects. And if we look here, we see some stuff. So here, this is basically the text that we also saw in the result list of the quick launch, and some other stuff. So most of the things we do not need. So let's go back, and then description, object text, and so on. So we basically process all the search results, and in the end, we have to.
I see it's really prototype coding because it's not looping into a field symbol, but into a work area. From that alone, you can already see that it's prototype coding.
It's not using state of the art ABAP features,
and it just to mark it as a prototype.
Yeah, indeed. So, and then here we also see some commented coding and so on. So maybe here the interesting part is if we go here. This is the URL that we will attach to the search result that is later on called by the. By the NetRio business client, and here we already see, so it's not www.google.com or something. So it's some internal navigation URL, so to say. And this TR here stands for transaction, LS, I don't know. And then we see here there is a transaction. We can come to that later. So it's a workbench transaction. And here you can just say, okay, call that transaction. And here we give the object type. And in this case, it's here for the first one. Okay, it's some kind of program. And the object name is here, some this report and so on. So this is everything.
But the key thing to take away is if you don't do the ABAP search here, you concatenate an URL where the business client then is able to to navigate to, right? So that's the, it, now that's very special for that ABAP transaction thing, but the general idea is that that URL is the one, if you, let's say you could copy it from your browser if you have an URL and then do something similar here.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, what you could also do, I mean, we saw that node search, you could call that node search here from within the ABAP class, process all the results and then also provide that in the list. So that could be an enhancement. So, and then you would probably return here the www node search and then with the corresponding ID of that, of the node that you found. So, that's true. Just the URL for the result. And then in the very end, we have here the content that we, that we pass back to the okay, what would be best here? Text in browser? I'm not quite sure. Okay, now we do not have a line break here.
XML view? XML browser?
Let's check. Okay.
Okay. Invalid character.
But maybe if we go view source. Okay, not much better. okay. Yeah, just that you have seen it once. So this is basically the result.
Very simple,
now.
You see.
Yeah. So unfortunately, no highlighting. But if so it's in the end the list of results that we.
Maybe if I copy it into Notepad, maybe that would auto-format it maybe already, would it?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I think they have some XMLs.
Okay, where is it?
Or is it in view? Is it a view or language? So if we go to language and say it's XML, probably. Okay, at least we have some syntax highlighting.
Oops. Oh, yeah, it's still very low.
Yeah, so maybe we need to activate WordWrap and then...
there you go.
So I think it should be here. Okay, it's not much better, but a little bit. I mean, you saw it already. So we have here text of the search result and what type it is and the URL. And that's it. So and this we return and the... and the Natural Business Client will display it. So, okay, that's one example how you could implement such a search provider.
Very nice. And as mentioned, both are prototypes, but I think they give you pretty good the idea of what's possible in here. And you also see it's not a lot of coding. It's also some test coding in it. And so basically, if you know how to get the information, how to build the URL, you are in, right? And then some. Yeah. Special coding, and I think we will also sooner or later have a posting on together with the NWBC colleagues in the nearer future. Plan to make a posting on how exactly should I do that with some example coding. Then also, okay, so that's the search providers, right? I think they are called in parallel also, right? I'm not 100% sure. I had the impression when I said breakpoint in two. That they were called in parallel, so that's why it's also really fast. So maybe we can see. Okay.
Have the breakpoint.
Still have the breakpoint, not so fast then. Yeah, that's the only disadvantage, you have to go to the menu button again. Delete all, yeah. That's the one thing I don't like. But okay. Yeah. Okay. That's it maybe for the search providers. Should we then jump into that shortcut? How to avoid that shortcut trap that we just saw?
Yes, I think that's worth mentioning because you will run into that if you start working in the ABAP workbench from within the Network Business Client. I mean, you may be familiar with some typical shortcuts in the ABAP editor, like duplicate line and so on control D for example,
left right.
So for example, you hold the control key and then navigate use the arrow keys to navigate in one row and so on. So this is quite common to use these shortcuts, and if you do that in the business client, you may notice that they do not do what they did before.
You would see also why. So if you go to help and show shortcuts, then you see the shortcuts, and in the default view, There would be a control D for disconnect side panel. It's originally control D,
for example. Yes, and this can be quite a surprise then. And there are some other overlaps with standard ABAP shortcuts, and which you may want to resolve before starting any work in the SE80 in the business client. And this is all configurable, not from here. Here you can see what shortcuts are set, but there is some config files where you have more options to override these shortcuts. And I think we have it still open. So there is one folder. You will also have it. You have a preview. Cool. you will also find it then once you install the NetRealm Business Client desktop on your machine, then on the program data and in the NWBC folder, you will find this file here. So it's an it's a template file for the options. And if we
NWBC options.xml
template. Right, for the audio, correct. And then if we open that file in the notepad, and we see we have a lot of stuff in here, and maybe one thing we should now focus on is the shortcuts. There is a dedicated section for the shortcuts. It's here below the NWBC commands. So don't get confused here by the naming. So it's the right one. It's NWBC 4.0 commands. And in this section you will find everything that we just saw on the pop-up in the NWBC, every function for which we have a shortcut. And then you will see in the template here, if we search for a disconnect side panel, we see key D and modifier key control key. So actually the one that we want to use for other purposes. And now you have to know it's not that easy just remove that thing here and now you're gone. This is a possibility here to overwrite shortcuts in NWBC. When you delete it, you just do not overwrite it, then it's still the same shortcut as it was before. So the trick is here to, if you want to use that disconnect side panel to find some other meaningful key combination that you want to use then that instead, if you do not have a side panel at all and do not really care about that, then you probably want to add some modifier keys to ensure that when you click Control D, that then this shortcut, this NWBC shortcut, is not executed here.
Well, we can have a look on the edited version, right? Upsala. Who would use Notepad if he has Notepad +++? So. You searched for what was it?
Disconnect.
You see here, it's Shift Control.
So you can still use it, but now Control D is again available for the important stuff. And the same thing you can do with navigation, control key navigation, and so on. So it's freely configurable. The only thing you have to do, if you do not just copy the template, this template file that we saw over here, and then uncomment this the section for the NWBC 4.0 commands, and then make the changes to your needs.
Exactly. We also have an SCM posting, by the way, about most of the setup steps, and we attached our version here with commanded. Control D, Control Left, Control Right. We attached it there. We will have the URL. Please take your keys and then we have it in show notes. The URL to check that. To read it again. Okay, that's it for the shortcuts. Then let's go back to NWBC. Here we see our nice integrated navigation. So let's go in here again.
Okay.
What's next? Maybe let's see. Log on, we check. That's obvious. Window is also not very exciting. I think one very cool trick you showed me was the
maybe we can come to that now. Mm-hmm. It's some technical stuff also regarding support. So mm-hmm. I mean, when you encounter problems with the NWVC, you may want to know where to report problems. So therefore, I would shortly highlight or mention the application component where to add or where to raise the component. So let's do it here. So the component is BC, and then
basic components.
The basic component. So FES. Not sure what that stands for. Then we have BUS. Business
front end
services probably. Okay, very good.
Front end services business,
and then as we are in the business client desktop, this is a component DSK. So it's
book.
Yes. So it's probably not a word for Duden, but this is the application component for raising tickets related to the NetRio business client.
Okay.
And just for the sake of completeness, if you are working with the NetWeaver Business Client Zero Footprint client, if you need to, and then it would be an HTM for HTML client.
Okay.
So, and when you raise a problem, you will probably be asked by the colleagues to provide some traces.
I mean, one thing, when should I raise a problem in business? Of course, if I have a short dump or something, that is still, unfortunately, our problem. So in most cases, it's really backend problem. Mm-hmm. Or even if you have rendering or see things differently, maybe you can simulate that in business client or in the Internet Explorer even and see if it's a backend problem or really a business client problem.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. So we should differentiate between these two things. Mm. So TM application and then the renderer. So as Bernd mentioned, it's a good idea to always try it in a different browser, for example, and then see if the problem occurs there or not. And then so if you can really nail it down to a problem in the business client, then you would create a ticket on that exact component here.
Yep.
And normally, if it's probably an exception in the business client, you will have to provide some traces for this. And there, if we go back to the settings, here we have a support entry. And here you can define the trace level for the business client. Normally, it's on error level. So as you will know, it's just tracing errors. So, and for the support colleagues, then you will probably be asked to change it to some other level, which is
Okay. By the way, I had a problem that it always defaulted to verbose. It gave me a warning that I wasn't able to change it. That is also something defined in that XML file we just looked at before. So the default value at least comes from that file. So if you have a problem, you may look up your NWBC options XML file and search for verbose, and then you will see where to change it.
Because it's of course influences the performance. So verbose should actually be not be the standard. So in this menu, you would see the trace level. And then maybe one thing you will not so easily find in the menu here, it's not an Easter egg, but it's an extended supportability submenu that only gets visible if you know the right key combination. So,
and it won't tell it.
Debit number is okay, if you're here in the menu, and now you press the control key and then you go to the help menu. So maybe I should show it without doing that. So go here. We have three submenu entries here. If we do it again while holding the control key, we see we have five entries.
Exciting.
So there is a lot of stuff here, and some options I use very frequently is this cleanup area here. So you may know that from the browser. There you can also clean the browser cache, for example. And I mentioned already that NWBC uses Internet Explorer for rendering. So basically, there is also some cache, but that you may want to clean from time to time.
Or have to.
Have to clean. And then you will find that particular option here in that submenu, and then you could just delete the browser cache here.
Okay.
This is one. And there is many other options. I think we do not have to go into detail here, just that you have seen it. And probably when you are asked to create a support report, then you would know where to go without having
can
to ask.
Can you do it from here?
Yeah, you can do it here. So,
and it's always the right components also. Can you press it? Just
yes, I think. Okay, now you are asked to to create two verbose. So
ausführlich is German for okay. verbose, by the way.
Yeah. So okay, we ignore that for a second. Then you can and then send an email, and then it's attached to. I'm not quite sure if probably you would save it to the disk and attach it to the ticket. Because you do not have the email of the developer.
It's nwbc@sap.com. No, it's not. Joke. Prototype.
Okay, so this was just some comments regarding support features. And I think that's everything. So here we have some help. I never clicked on that. So let's see where we get there. Oh, we...
That is quite good. I checked it for the accessibility mode. And
it's good. So, okay. Yeah. Cool.
It even mentions the mnemonics in another word I learned in that part. in the third provider. So basically the mnemonics, where we can go back there for a moment. Yeah. Just talking. Are the idea is that if you enter a mnemonic like A or so here, that then if you type A and then the search thing, that only calls the search providers which have that mnemonic here. At least for me, it did not work, but most likely it's an issue from what I heard of our implementations. But that's the idea behind that mnemonic.
Yeah, I mean, suppose you have 10 search providers and most of them will probably find some results if you type an A, if you search something, or a 10 or whatever. Mm. And then if you want to somehow limit the results here, also you get some... limits the results, then you could tell the business client which search provider to use for the search. And this is the idea behind that mnemonics.
Yep, at least the idea, yeah. And we will get it working, I think, sooner or later. Yeah, that's it. Huh? Pretty cool. So once you start using it, you never go back, I promise.
Yeah. I mean, I switched to it 2 or 3 weeks back, and I think it's really convenient.
It has even small cool things like Emmanuel mentioned that typically if you just log off or basically if I go home, I just leave my screen and then it auto log offs me from ZapGUI, and the next morning I get the penalty for that, or got the penalty for that, by being asked if I want to see a detailed error description for every single system that I left alone. And now the business client is a bit more forgiving on that, so you just start working again.
Yeah, basically. Or if you switch your from a LAN to a Wi-Fi connection, the sub-GUI is not able to hold the connection. Network business client is able to, so it's it makes daily life.
Yeah, it's really cool. The only small disadvantage, really, I think, is that that's a menu, is it another button maybe? That would be one.
I mean, there are small things. We will talk to the business client.
But, it's really nice, and not only for the end users, but also for daily life. And if you're interested in that ABAP search, for example, so you're a TM developer, or you want to build something, you know how to contact us through SCN or so, and then we can surely share that. And anyway, we plan to have an SCN posting on. But with a version then where there are no work areas, more on the coding, a more complete version. Because one thing also we forgot to mention that is the result page, right? Actually, a real search, a complete search, would also have a nice formatted result page. Not the case for us so far.
Yeah, so it leaves still some place for improvement.
And of course, if you build something, a cool search provider for the business client or so, please share it on SCN. I think there's a market for it. Good. I think that's it, right? So thanks for listening and enjoy the Business Client 5.0. And yeah, let's see what the next episode will bring. Bye-bye.